Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network and Omaha Audio. Look at this, I lost my voice. We're 8 seconds in, I have no voice, Shaq. Here we are.
Because you said it wrong.
Thursday morning.
You're supposed to go, Omaha, Omaha.
Oh, Omaha, I can't even get that out. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I think you're all set now. Your next career has now been, you just set it up for yourself. You do voiceovers for network program promos. Like, that guy's like, I don't know where they come up. All the human beings in the world, they go out and they get somebody who's like, on the next Chicago Fire.
Oh, yeah.
CSI. Like, what the hell? Hey, clear your throat before you read the promo.
It's the same guy. It's the same dude for like 35 years. But I mean, Collinsworth called the whole game with no voice. So I think I can get through this. All right. Spaghetti, meatballs, fiddling with the knobs. We got babyface Joel Solomon producing this disaster, even more of a disaster with me involved. And my dear, dear pals, you heard him already. Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. I do want to point you to extrapoints.com/arcade. We have the prop quiz contest. We have the pick'em contest. There's gold caps. There's $100 bills up for grabs. Lots going on. Oh, boy, Martin, I know you've been looking forward to this Thursday night affair for a while. Washington at Chicago. We'll get to that in a second. Lots of Dan Snyder news. Real league terrorist, huh, Shaq? He hired a private investigator to dig up dirt on Roger Goodell, and he actually made a statement. They said, he says, they can't F with me. He told an associate, the NFL is a mafia. Now, I have an issue with this. I don't know. Everything I watch on TV, you can't F with the mafia. He's saying they can't F with me and they're a mafia? It's not really how it goes, is it?
Yeah, I guess, right, that's cannibal.
Is he challenging mafia forces out there? That's how I would take it. I don't know.
What I haven't heard so far is, and yes, Snyder is plainly a scumbag. I don't think anybody's disputing that, probably not even Dan Snyder. What I haven't heard from anyone on the other side of things is like, oh, he's making up that he has dirt on us.
Yeah, right. Oh,
that's
a good point. Let's see it. Yeah, right. Yeah,
nobody's denying.
They ain't asking. Like,
may or may not have.
I haven't heard Roger or anyone else underneath him saying, "Like, well, prove it then. Show us some of that dirt."
I'm not squeaky clean, but if someone said they had dirt on me, I'd freak out, and I wouldn't say bring it. Right?
Of course not. Yes, that's my point. Yeah. That's my boy, and of course, to be like, oh, he does. Like, maybe the commies are good for football. Let's just leave them there.
I don't know. Martin, what would you do if someone said, I have dirt on you? Would you be like, let's see it? Or, okay, let's work out a deal.
No, so I have a box in my closet. It's ready to go. It's got spare keys. I don't have the car anymore, so it's a spare keys. My plan needs to be adjusted now that I don't have a car anymore. But I have a box with my passport, a couple $100s, the credit card I never use, just so that one time swipe so I can get to the airport and get on and go. I'm out. I'm leaving. Like,
oh, really?
I'm running, bro. I'm running. Like, I wouldn't like if I ever get down bad. Like, I'm gone. I'm leaving. I'm just going to go to a
I thought that was going to be different. I thought you were going to say you have a box full of dirt on me and Shaq, and where you're about to unload it. So, okay, that's better. You're just going to flee the country.
I think you want to get to a place in life, though, right? I mean, that's why you want to you want to be an open book in life so that nobody does have dirt on you.
Yeah.
And you can say, like, go ahead, spill the beans, go whatever you got. But it's pretty clear that these men of great power, these billionaires across the board, are probably, I think legitimately, I bet you 20, 25 of those ownership groups are like, let's not push this any further, Raj. This is not good for anyone. And by the way, same goes for what's going on with Gruden, what's going on with last, whatever, 8 months or whatever with the Dolphins. Yes, it all is the same reason we don't hear these things really, we don't reach satisfaction as fans go.
I think, like, you could have, like, it's either that's one way to look at it, or, like, the NFL's the mafia, right? And so what Daniel Snyder's doing right now, I mean, mind you, I am knee deep in the Sopranos rewatch, but can see Jerry Tony Soprano Jones sitting back smoking a cigar like, this guy's talking about our thing. Like, can you believe this guy's talking about our thing like this? And like, those guys generally don't make it. They don't make it to the end of the season in the
That's
Sopranos.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, this
right.
feels
That's
like he's setting
saying.
Himself up. This is like he's Richie Aprile. Like, he's yo, you're going too far, bro. You're going a little too far.
Yeah, he's Rich Aprile for sure. But let me just say it right now, because I think this is a good tactic. I think we all agree. And I want to challenge the Manning brothers. They've not done anything but be nice to us. But we do have dirt on you. So if you're thinking about cutting our contract short, you know, maybe think again, Peyton, Eli, Cooper, everybody. You know, not a threat, just putting it out there. So I think
tell Eddie
right,
you love him. Respond.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all I want, man. That would make my football season if Eli responded to Eddie.
How would what has to happen? This guy's not going to sell the team. Does it have to get to a point where the fans, like in, you know, like in soccer, just charge the field and just protest before the games? Like, I don't think I think this puts off any sale for the next. He's keeping it for as long as he wants, right?
Well, what's interesting to me is exactly that. Is, you know, how. And I guess the answer is vary, but how profitable is it for you, Dan Snyder? You're a billionaire several times over. Is it that important to you to have this team? I mean, I make fun of it a lot, and they deserve it. This is they had a PR firm study this and everything, a marketing department, and they came up with, in the nation's capital, commies. That's all you need to know about their decision-making ability. But why would Dan Snyder, at this point, you are hated by people who present as Bond-level villains, these billionaires, you know, who probably are resentful at the play of the players that they have to give millions of dollars to and everything, and yet they don't like this guy. Why does he want to still be involved in the crosshairs like this? Just sell the team and go away.
He's got the power, right, Martin? He's got the power. He's got all the money. Right. He doesn't know what to do with. So now if he's got power over these guys who are, like you said, pretty much enemies, stick with it. Yeah, it's pretty gross, the whole thing. Not as gross as tonight, Washington at Chicago. We thought last week was
He's
bad.
Really getting us now. I'll show you, kidding. NFL. I'm going to make my team play on national TV.
Now, Amazon's going to suffer. They're the most powerful country in the world. This is a pick 'em because the odds makers and Caesars just said, we've had enough. You guys figure it out. And 38 is the over-under. Now, let me just say, we're going to pick this game right now. I don't think either of the three of us should get particularly loud or agitated when delivering this pick, because you don't really believe in whoever you're taking, right, Martin? These teams stink. This game stinks. So which stink bomb are you going with?
Yeah, you're right.
You're already too loud. You're already too loud.
I have no strong opinion on this game. I feel like actually the strongest opinion on this game was delivered by Ron Rivera midweek. And it's just a simple word, quarterback. Right. Both sides could say it. Rookie head coaches don't win that well. They don't really do well on Thursday night. Like, I know it's kind of an anecdotal stat, but in a game like this, if you're going to put your money on anything besides an anecdotal stat, like if you're really crunching the numbers and you're like, oh, Washington converts on 32% of third downs and Chicago converts on 34% of third downs. So that I'm going to go with the Bears. So I lean to the Commanders, which I've lean through the last 3 weeks, and that's worked out great for me. So take that with a grain of salt.
I mean, maybe it's as simple, Martin, as well. Washington is part of the best division in all of football, maybe sports, the NFC East, and that's why I'm taking them. That's basically why I'm taking them. Shaq, which way are you going?
I mean, sheesh. I mean, I'm not enthused about either side of it. I'm going to take the Commies here. I think that they. A pure pedigree play, and that is relatively speaking. The Commies are no great shakes, but they have more talent on that side than the Bears do. The Bears want to lose games. They've made that clear this season. And like Marty said, I think Rivera short term shot himself in the foot. If he wouldn't have said that about like quarterback, he probably could run out Sam Howell, if not to start this game, then by halftime if things aren't going well. Now, though, he's been disloyal to a guy they brought in. That's bad for the long term in terms of personnel and free agency and bringing guys in there. Like, hey, this organization won't treat you right, can Carson Wentz say. So I think they have to roll with Wentz. The good news is he's playing a tick better than Justin Fields is. So, yeah, commies.
I guess. And for those that don't know what he walked it back, right? Rivera said, he was asked what the difference is between Washington, why they can't get going. What did he say?
The premise of the question was, you know, hey, man, if you look around, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. Cowboys are, you know, have gone 4-0 with Cooper Rush, and then look at the Giants; they're 4-1. What's up with you? You know, and
what's the difference,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what's the difference between you guys? And he said quarterback, and then went on to then say like, you know, well, you know, Dallas lost their quarterback. He said, oh, you know, they've had Cooper Rush in their system for a while, and it's like
it was a rough.
The Giants are just in love with their quarterback situation, right? Like.
As much as I joke about them being the best division in football, because they do have three teams with four wins or more, right? So, but that quarterback, that's not where you start with that question for sure. I don't think.
No, then we never have to speak of this game again. But it is interesting in my mind that if it were in DC, I would take the Bears to win this game. I think I talk about it a home field disadvantage. I mean, there are going to be 23 people in the stands and they in D.C. and they would be nothing but booing. It's better for them to be away from the eye of the storm over there in the Midwest playing next to Lake Michigan versus being at home, which would not be a friendly environment for the home team.
Well, so here's what's weird. The Bears were my pick to have the worst record, and they scratched together a couple wins. I still think they're a flawed rebuild team. And they're 31st in the league in total offense. Believe it or not, Commanders are like middle of the pack, like 16th, 17th. And I'm going with every, you know, Martin, 6-0. Talk about Thursday night football. Carson Wentz, 6-0 on Thursday night football with a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. If this was a Sunday game, I wouldn't touch it. But Wentz pulls it out 23-17. I think.
You know what?
Their uniforms suck. That Commanders on the top of everything about this team sucks.
Dave, he said not to get loud about this game. So stop it.
Uniforms is a different subject. Yes, go ahead.
The real play for that, I think my official play tonight is going to be Carson wants to throw an interception. Maybe Justin Fields and Carson wants to throw an interception.
That's how he reacts to Fields doesn't throw enough passes. I don't think he's thrown 22 passes this year. That's the one thing about the interception. I was looking at the interception thing too.
I just think we got to think a little deeper when we come into these games of like this Colts versus the Broncos. Like no touchdown scored was like 14-1. You know, like that should have been one that was kind of like in retrospect, like, who's going to score here? Right. I mean,
listen. Yeah, the under's 21-8 and the Bears' last 29 home games. Sure, that's a fun way to root for a terrible game. Maybe no scoring, right?
You feel me?
Leave it up to the kickers right there. Could be the under. Would they have that 38? Yeah.
Here's the thing that makes it even worse. Speaking of uniforms, did you see what the Bears are wearing? They're wearing their orange hats, which is just against the maroon of the commies. I mean, it's unwatchable, literally. On every level. And yet what is fascinating and the leverage with, Dan Snyder versus the other billionaire guys who he has dirt on. And we kind of believe that he probably does have dirt on at least some of those guys. No matter. We're all going to watch this game. That's the thing, right? Isn't that ultimately the leverage that Goodell and the league and everybody else? Would you randomly watch an NHL game that you have zero rooting interest, baseball, basketball, or NFL football? I think we all know the answer to that one.
I think that's a good point. And maybe like a Fox, they're doing this, Shaq. Maybe the NFL puts a stink bomb up there every, you know, two times a year, three times a year, Washington, Chicago. You know, before the year, this wasn't going to be a great matchup either. So you can't say, well, it's, you know, who knew that they were going to play so poorly? Maybe they say, hey, let's insert our dominance over baseball, Major League Baseball playoffs. Now, it doesn't really matter because the Yankees were rained out. So we're not going to get that head to head. But this is just once in a while to show who's boss And you might be right. Let's make it an unpleasant matchup team-wise. Let's make it unpleasant on every front, uniform matchup-wise. Maybe that's what they're doing. Is this a test game?
I love that theory. Like, oh, yeah, Yankees, the most popular brand in sports history, can't compete with the Commies v. the Bears in their hideous orange hats. You're still watching it. Wentz v. Fields, you're still watching us over the Yanks. Yeah, Goodell's probably angry.
That's it. Yeah, Martin, he got way too loud for the segment. I don't know. I put the disclaimer in the front, but
everyone driving their car just now had to reach out and press volume down at least three notches.
Yeah. All right. Luckily, the gas prices are high and everyone's walking to work. But all right. So we all have Washington. Wherever you do your action, play it on Caesars. Let me tell you a little about Caesars. All right. Listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes, Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars Empire. And your very first bet, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXONTARIO.CA or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll go over the rest of the NFL slate. We're going to do college football, baseball. Shaq, it really is the best time of the year, but everyone's going to have to wait for our analysis after this break.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Bills and Chiefs. This is the best game on the board, maybe best game of the year. Hopefully it lives up to the hype. Bills favored 2.5, 54 at Kansas City. This is the first time Patrick Mahomes is an underdog in 41 home games. I think the Bills are unquestionably, in my mind, the best team in the NFL, and yet I keep picking against them. I don't know why. Maybe it's because Mahomes is 7-0-1 against the spread as an underdog. Maybe it's because Casey is 6-2 against the number in the last 8 home games. I know they didn't cover last week. Chiefs are doing it. They're middle of the pack in terms of rushing yards. That's what they kind of had to do, right? You didn't have Tyreek Hill in the 80-yard bomb, so they had established a running game. It's not top five, but they have like 121 yards a game. It's working. Second highest scoring average. Obviously, the Bills are the first. I know Josh Allen, the Bills have a score to settle, but I think it's a last team with the ball win situation. Check and 2.5. While it doesn't seem to matter with weird stuff going on with 2-point conversions and decisions at the end of every game, 29-28 sounds like it could be a final. I'm taking the points.
I'm gonna go with the Bills. There does feel like legitimately a desire, a greater desire on the Buffalo side of things to make a point to themselves and to football and otherwise. And practically speaking, they've gone through Arrowhead. That didn't work out. So they understand that this head-to-head could determine ultimately where that playoff game is going to be played. We're assuming that these are the two best teams. And the Chiefs, I know they're 4-1, and I know I'm the big skeptic about this team, and Jeff Schwartz will text me about it and say, like, you're crazy getting down on the Chiefs, but they would have lost to the Raiders. I stand by that, were it not for a call or two here and the weird collision with Davante Adams and Renfro. I'm buying that the Bills want this one more, and that's the difference in a tight ball game.
By the way, you're taking Buffalo. You say that's a weird collision at the end of the game. I bet Davante Adams was counting on that being the weirdest collision of the night for him. and then it happened 20 minutes later. Now they press charges against him for assault, which I think is a
what do you think about silly. That? Listen, forget about the prognostication right now. Do the legal stuff for us there.
I forgot about all this. Let's see. Intent, assault. I don't know that it satisfies all the elements of assault from that one angle. You can't say that intent is 100% guaranteed there. I know, like,
what do you mean intent?
Well, it was like he scoped him out, he saw him, and he shoved him, right? I think it was so bang bang. If you look at that one POV angle, he's kind of looking down, he looks up, he doesn't know if this is a cameraman or a fan or what in the way, and then he kind of reacts to it. I don't know, maybe I'm right. Martin, is that how you saw it? I think it's I don't think this guy should get like $300,000. I heard you on Lemon Pepper Parlay, and I think your overall reaction is, hey, guys, get out of the way, right?
Well, it's just the reporting around this scenario. First of all, I agree with you. If you look at it from the other angle, Davante Adams, the guy kind of does jump into his line of walking, right? And then Davante Adams removes him from that line of walking pretty quickly. But the reporting around it was, they were so intent to say that this guy was a credentialed worker, like a CW credentialed worker, capital C, capital W. And as somebody who's been a credentialed worker at different sporting events, I've been on the sidelines and stuff like that. And just generally, my job has been in part to produce other people doing their job, right? Like to make, and these people who they are the show, like Davante Adams is one of the show. Get the hell out of the way. Like, what are you doing where you're in Davante Adams's way? Cause what, like, should he have shoved him? No, I'm not saying that, but the guy was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that was on him because you got a job to do. And wherever it is, it's not right in front of Davante Adams in that moment.
Also, what kind of picture was he looking to get? Because he met him really basically at the point of impact. Like, you got to get up his nostrils, really, from a foot and a half away on the side. That's not as good a picture. I don't know.
The other thing, I don't know if you saw what Derek Carr said about it. He's like, I'm pro police. And if they decided to charge him, then I can't stand in the way of that.
What? I mean, did he say it like that?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. I'm pretty sure he did, unless I saw it. I mean, you know, there's so many people post on social media fake stuff. Maybe I'm getting duped here, but I'm pretty sure he did say that. And if he did, I mean, they're old pals. That was why they got together in Vegas and everything else. I don't, maybe not. Maybe he didn't say it. And I just, like I say, am a sucker. But I could see Davante being like, I get it, but come on. What gives? What are you doing, man?
Yeah, I don't think there's a pro anti police anything, right? I don't even think it's a discussion. There's so much footage of it, so the policy dictates you have to either charge or don't, right? At this point, so I don't think it's a cop thing. Martin, give us your pick on this. You're going Bills, I could tell.
Hell no.
Ooh,
I can get Pat. Look, just off of principle, Patrick Mahomes as an underdog. You said it a minute ago. He's been a favorite in like some 40 straight games, like. That's 3 years. Like, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes as a dog while I can. And like, It's one of those king stay kings. I like the Chiefs, as you mentioned it earlier, their ability to run the ball effectively. I think that's ultimately going to be the difference in a game where both teams are going to be trying to limit big plays. Like, who's going to be able to maintain, keep the line moving long enough to where, eat up enough of the clock. And then the only thing that really concerns me, well, besides the fact that Buffalo has this incredible passing attack, is the kicking situation with Kansas City. Like, if Harrison Butker was healthy, I'd love it.
Yeah, I hope it's – did I get it wrong? I'm looking it up now. Is it 41 games at home or 41 overall that he's been an underdog, 41 in a row?
Off the top of my head, I can't tell you the last time that he's been an underdog.
Just in general, it's just 41? Just in general. All right. Either way. All right, listen.
It's something insane.
Can we move this to tonight? Who's going to complain if we move this to tonight? It's on a night game, so I think CBS, from what I remember, traded – had the option of taking this or what was the one a couple weeks ago? Chiefs, Bucks. And they took this. And I don't know. I don't know if it was a good decision, but both should have been good games on paper.
I'll say the one practical thing that Marty just hit on there is that Josh Allen has been striking deep with a fair amount of regularity. And the Chiefs have got repeatedly over the top. Maybe Trent McDuffie makes a difference. The rookie, I assume he's going to be out there for this one. And so it does matter who wears the uniform in the Chiefs secondary. Yeah. But still, that should be an area of concern. How many times have you watched teams get them over the top in Arrowhead?
I might do that dumb thing where could you see it being like, oh, Bills destroy them or the Chiefs win? So I might go Bills -9.5 +235. And then take the Chiefs plus the points, too. I don't know. It could get out of hand. No, I hope it does.
At any point with the Buffalo Bills, a game could get out of hand. Do you see? I mean, just ask the Pittsburgh Steelers. As soon as they walked into the stadium, the game got out of hand.
It's not true. Like, they got to third down before that Gabriel Davis pass, right, Shaq? It was looking good. They put pressure on.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. By the way, the evil that is the teaser – that Sal taught me about a quarter century ago now. The two premier games of this weekend, they present to me as being a good candidate. You take the Chiefs to plus, if you buy 6 points in both situations, and you make the Chiefs +8.5 at home. And then, I guess you can go either way with the Eagles or Cowboys because you can take it right down to a pick 'em or you can make it +12.
Well, don't go either way, because if you go pick 'em, you're going to lose with the Eagles. Let's get to that right now. I'm very
full. Right, it's a good one, right?
I'm very full of myself. So this is what you would think Buffalo KC would be Sunday night, but it's Philly Dallas. By the way, check the biggest primetime rivalry in terms of number of games, matchup, biggest primetime rivalry since the merger, 29 times. Didn't that surprise you? I would have thought it was Dallas Giants because they shoved that down your throat for a decade. That was the opening Sunday night game or some kind of Sunday night game in there. This must have happened a lot in the Harold Carmichael, Wilbert Montgomery days for Monday night. They must have met a lot. But, 29 times. Biggest rivalry.
Boy, that is surprising. It seems like, just feels like off the top of my head, the Eagles haven't had that many relevant teams compared to the Giants. But I guess they're, hit and miss over the decades as well. But that is surprising.
I feel like they always start the game, like the season out, like week around this time, right around when things are getting settled in with a nice Cowboys-Eagles game on Monday Night Football. Like, I remember watching this one with you last year. You were thinking that, or 2 years ago rather, when they were like, "Man, are they good? Are they good? Are they good?" And
That was a Thursday, right? Yeah, I think. I'll have to look into it. I bet it was the merger was what, 1970. I bet a lot of it was in the first two.
I'd love to see that full list. I'd like to see like the top 10 of that and see if I could guess at those. I wish you hadn't revealed that one.
They flashed it. They flashed it quickly on ESPN yesterday. I know Giants Cowboys. So this is 29 times. Giants Cowboys was 27. There's a few 27s in there. Yeah, I'll I'll get a hold of that list and we'll.
Because it would have to be Cowboys, Raiders, Steelers, probably the Niners and the Packers. But yeah, that's would be involved in those. But interesting. Yeah.
Chiefs probably Eagles one. Chiefs over the last few years, I would say. But yeah, that's it's not a Bills? No, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It has to be who really has lasted the
Niners. The Niners time. Have been oh, relevant Niners, yeah. for 40 something years at this
right.
point. Without so Niners Rams pretty much.
What would that be? The Niners Rams would be that matchup. I mean, their biggest primetime right. rivalry.
I
guess that makes some sense. Wow. Yeah, the Niners would have to be in there somewhere. Yeah, uh-huh. but they who's their natural rival that has transcended a decade or whatever, not the Seahawks, could, obviously.
Spaghetti or meatballs, if you could pull that up in the next 40 minutes, that'd be fun to look at. But all right, I don't know why this is six, though. Now I'm getting full of myself here with this Cowboys team. Martin, the way I understand it is you have to score points to cover a spread. So if the spread is six to cover, you have to score at least seven. Is that right, or did that change? That's about, isn't that how it is?
I think you're onto something there.
Okay. All right. Look, this could be the one where Cooper Rush does all the things we praise him for not doing, coughs up the ball in a sack, he throws in double coverage, et cetera. But I'm trusting the Cowboys' defense to keep it close. They've won six straight road games. They're 10-1 against spread in their last 11. And Jerry Jones is 80 today. How about that? He's 80, Sheck. That happy has to birthday. Factor into the line. If he was 77, I think the line would be lower. No.
No dirt. The most important thing for Jared, no dirt on that guy.
Nothing on that guy. Yeah.
No.
It is interesting, though, because, okay, so when did they lose? When their Super Bowl last? 95? So, Sheck, he was our
even
age.
Alive. We weren't even alive when it
happened. No, but that's what's crazy. Interesting is he was about our age when that happened. And he must have thought to himself, I mean, it was 27 years ago. So he was 53. He must have thought to himself, like, oh, I'll be back. How many times? Half dozen times? Like, good Lord. We're in
the
trouble.
Marino of owners, except that he actually won a Lombardi. But yeah, basically the same effect.
All right, check. Well, if you like Dallas plus 12 on a teaser, maybe you like him plus six.
I do like the Cowboys. I'm threading the needle here. I lean towards on the money line towards the Eagles at home. It's a big time atmosphere, but man, that defense travels. They are dominating teams. Uh-huh. You know, the game in LA last week against the Rams didn't go that different than I anticipated. I thought the Rams defense would perform, and it did. The problem was that then the special teams for the Cowboys rose up as well. Man. Micah Parsons is, you know, talk about the Jenga piece, you know, the guy who makes the whole thing, straw that stirs the drink and everything else. Is there anyone more relevant non-QB to his team's success right now than Micah Parsons is to the Dallas Cowboys? The spoiler alert answer is no, there isn't.
Anyone. Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm glad the answer is no. Martin, I'll say this about the Eagles. They score early. You know, you look up on Red Zone, Jalen Hurts has a 3-yard touchdown run, maybe two by the time of the second quarter. That's how they've been doing it against these teams. So it's a different game if Cooper Rush is asked to play comeback, right? Down 10 in the second quarter. But I still like the points. What do you think?
And I ultimately do think that Cooper Rush is going to have to play comeback. Like if you look at some of the scoring stats for the Eagles, they're a big first half scoring team, especially in the second quarter. Cooper Rush has not had to play from behind at all. And, you know, if you look at the worst offenses in terms of scoring, the Cowboys are right there, like with the Panthers, with the Rams. I can't remember the other two, but those are the Broncos, but they're right there. The teams that they're just not scoring a lot of points, even though they're winning a lot of games. And I know I said it last week, it's going to come to fruition and it's finally going to come and Cooper Rush's, glass slipper will finally break. But, especially if the Eagles offensive line is healthy, Michael Parsons coming off a groin, he was coming in just being on third down, being effective. And Dave, I think you're wrong about non-QB. I think he's more important to his team than some quarterbacks are to their teams. Like, I really do. There's no way they're doing what they're doing without him. And I think he's transcended quarterback for some guys, obviously not the other top end guys, but for some of them. So if he can't go, if he's limited, that makes me think like I'm way out on the Cowboys. But like I said, he had a hurt groin and came in on third down and still was wreaking havoc. Right. So this gives me
flu,
a lot of cause for concern.
He's a superhero. Yeah. I'm taking the points. Yeah. Okay. I'm taking the points. I'm taking the plus six here.
Here's the thing.
I do acknowledge that it could get ugly early and then and that'll suck for Sunday night viewing. Go ahead.
But then it'll make clear. That's what I'm getting at with the discussion we had earlier this week and last week about the glass slipper and everything else. If you have a nice definitive break from Cooper Rush, like, oh, we'll see that. There's nothing to say that would defend keeping this guy in there. Then maybe you'll feel good about it. I think as I thought back about it after we had the discussion the other day, I think that some of it, including me, is that Dak and that offense really looked bad against the Bucs in week one. And so I think that's lingering in our brains. Like, boy, Dak and that, they didn't do anything, but now they haven't lost since he went out. But when you think about the not small addition of Michael Gallup back in there and Tony Pollard getting up to speed and everything else, all of a sudden the Cowboys with Dak seem real scary. Maybe the team in the NFC, right?
What do you think of what he did? You know, he was asked about his arm strength and everything. He's trying to fight through this thumb injury, and he practiced well yesterday. And they asked him about his arm. How do you feel? How's your arm strength? He's like, go ask the receivers. That's putting them on the spot. CeeDee Lamb's like, yeah, it's there. Oh, yeah, man, he's zipping it. Yeah, what are you going to say? Can you tell a chef friend of yours that his gnocchi isn't up to par if he feeds you right there? I don't know.
No, that's like one of Kimmel's pizzas versus one of Kimmel's fancy pizza making friends. Like, what he's trying to do is put the stink on Cooper Rush. He's like, Chris Bianco is like, Yeah, taste my pizza. Let me know what you think. Like, you can taste Jimmy's too if you want. See which one's better. At least he's trying to make the point. Like, yeah, it's good, but come on.
Yeah.
I'm Dak Prescott.
Right. Well, it works, Martin, unless it doesn't work. Unless the arm strength isn't there, but no one seems worried.
Came out throwing passes left-handed yesterday. It seems to be a pretty clear indication.
That would concern me that he doesn't have it in the right arm, but right. Tampa Bay 8 over Pittsburgh. It's in Heinz, AccuSure. What is it? What are we calling this place?
Hackershire.
44.5 is the over under. I'm doing it again. I mean, I'm picking the Steelers. I don't know why. Every week, and they're not good. They're 1-3-1 against the spread. Tampa not much better. 2-3. 3-6 against the spread. Bucks are on the road last year. Kenny Pickett averaging a low A-minus grade from Sheck over the last 2 weeks, yet to throw a touchdown pass, but I still like them. And I know Tampa could explode one of these weeks, but as of now, they can't put games away. They were lucky to get by Atlanta. That was Martin's pup pick. They're very middle of the pack, Tampa, in terms of yards per game. So I think 8 is too rich a number to lay on the road. They take care of business. They won 23-17, but I'm taking the points. Shaq, it's all you.
Man, oh, man, I really want to take the Steelers +8, not to win the game outright. But they're just ruined on defense. They have literally 6 guys that started in week one that are no longer available to them. It's just Tom Brady, and also, as I talk about all the time, Stockholm Syndrome. It's hard for me to pick against Tom Brady as a Steelers fan in the 21st century. But, you know, there's no pass rush. How are you going to get the Tom Brady? How are you going to stop a Tom Brady offense if you're not heating them up? There's no evidence that the Steelers have the ability to do that so long as TJ Watt's out. Want to make it even worse, half their secondary's out. I want to take the Steelers here. And the one stat that Marty and a lot of people are throwing out, or Sal, you threw it out there too, is like, hasn't thrown a touchdown. Yeah, I mean, you know, in 90 minutes, he did score a couple of touchdowns. Does it hook or by
crook? I'm saying for an A-minus to not have a touchdown pass and an A-minus now getting 8 points and you're not even going to bet him. My goodness, Shaq.
I don't hang it on him, though. I hang it on the pass catchers. I hang it on Matt Canada. You're asking me specifically what I think of the kid's performance. I'm grading him on a curve as a rookie. I think he's presented himself to be pretty good. And all that intangible talk, you do have to like Von Miller and Stephon Diggs saying, like, hey, I like this guy's scrap, the fight in him and all of that kind of stuff. Hey, what would you expect? 31-year-old rookie. He's saying the right things at least.
big fight.
Martin, you got to break the tie here, Martin. It sounds like Check's taking the favorite Bucks. I'm taking the Steelers.
Yeah.
Not money, though.
It's the same thing, the same reason I picked the Giants last week against the Packers. So I don't think the Bucks deserve to be laying that many points. Even as bad as the Steelers were last week, I still think that Trubisky, Pickett over Trubisky is night and day comparison. So I'm going to go ahead with, if anything, the Steelers aren't going to come out and get beaten by 30 again. And then the total totals like 40 with 41, 8-point spread. I'm going to go ahead and close my nose and just take the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Is it night and day, this comparison, or is it dusk and noon?
I don't know what you're – I really don't understand your ongoing cynicism about this. It's plain if you watch them. I don't expect anybody to torture. If you're not a Steelers fan, why would you torture yourself with all the other options you have on Pro Football Sunday? But if you watch the games, he's good. They're dropping passes on him. The play designs are just – absolute dreck, not giving him a shot, but he, for what it matters, it looks pretty good.
I would say, you got to
look at what the line for is. Fired.
He's a live arm.
I feel bad.
Yeah. Talk about, but I will say this, talk about home field disadvantage. If you're wrong and it gets to be like a 3-touchdown deficit, it's going to get ugly in that stadium.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see Tom Brady.
The
Blue
Birds are going to go wild.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. Green Bay, let's move on. Green Bay, 7-point favorite over the Jets. 45.5 is the over on. It's a weird game because they're, off of London. Off the London game, you have the option to take a bye. But I guess because it's so early in the year, the Giants and Packers elected to pass on the bye and take their week off later in the season. Packers draw the Jets, which before the year started looked to be as good as it gets after a London game, right? And now the Jets have 3 wins and momentum. Rodgers didn't practice Wednesday. He says he's fine. The offense is struggling to move the ball when he's healthy, and yet I'm still taking the Packers in this big number. Despite last week's meltdown, they're 9-3 against the spread in the last 12 in October. The defense played well against the Giants in the first half. They just have to keep up that intensity, and the Packers have to get back to playing Packer football with the short passes and, dominating these Jets who are not as aggressive defensively. I think they've allowed 50% on third down, and I think it'll be even higher at Lambeau. 30-19. I'm taking the Packers, Martin. What do you like?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jets. Zach Wilson has looked really good since he's come back. I really like what you see out of Breece Hall, especially last week. He was running real hard. And then I think that Green Bay, after last week, flying back from London, I think teams that come back from London are kind of they don't necessarily perform as well, especially like with a big old spread like this. There's some trend that says I think London teams that come back from London who don't take a bye or end up tied or trailing in the fourth quarter of the following game, regardless of outcome. So they might win, but if you're giving me it's about a touchdown, so I'm figuring
it's a good stat.
I figure about a touchdown they should be able to keep it close. And I'm probably going to look towards like the Jets points as well. This offense, they're still putting the point spread at books. Like this offense is like the Broncos are from earlier this season, and it's not anymore with Garrett Wilson and Zach
Wilson.
You're
saying Jets point, total points?
Yeah, I think the Jets are moving around.
It'll be about 19, I think.
Yeah, I think I see the Jets scoring. I mean, the Giants scored, 3 touchdowns in the second half against the Packers last week. So I think the Jets can get to 3 touchdowns.
All right. Shaq, I don't know. I'm just sitting there I guess I should have the same logic with the Tampa Bay, and they're just going to explode 1 week. But I figure Jets will regress and Packers will play Packers football, but maybe not. This isn't the week. What do you think?
Let me tell you something. I'm making a change right here. Oh, I was all set to roll with the Packers and everything else, but Marty has talked me into these Jets.
Well, Martin,
listen, the cynic can point to that the Jets' last 2 wins against flawed Pittsburgh and against third string QB Miami. But man, it was definitely a prove it that you're for real and not a fun little blip on the regular season slate there. But Zach Wilson is good. That roster is pretty good. It's not all the way there yet, but the roster is good. The question coming into the season and the reason I backed off the Jets was Zach Wilson has a bum knee, and are we 100% that he's definitely going to be good anyway? He's looked good if you're watching him. Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense hasn't. The only reason you lay the 7 here is because, like, yeah, come on, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's, come on, against the Jets. What are we talking about here? Like, the last couple of weeks say take the Jets here. So I'll take the Jets.
I know. It's probably a foolish pick. I imagine I'm saying it's a foolish pick taking the Packers over the Jets. Well, but with everything that's in front of us, it might be.
To feel better. LaFleur is 10-0 against the spread after a loss. And yeah, me and Dave just took, like, this is one on Monday. We'll be sitting back thinking we really took the Jets against Aaron Rodgers as a home favorite.
Yeah, what am I kicking myself? You guys took the Jets. Yeah, that's what we should be focused
on. They're loaded up with playmakers, the Jets, on offense. They really are. I know their offensive line is a question, but, I mean, they, you know, if you have a guy with that kind of whip in Zach Wilson and those playmakers, that's a scary team, and not just this season.
Well, and they're certainly capable of pulling off a backdoor cover, too, if the spread's 7. They're down 13 late. But and as Martin indicated, these off the London games are tight typically. Now, here's the thing. I'm asking for trouble picking both teams returning for London, but I don't care. Giants +6 over Baltimore. The over-under is 45. Giants are home. I don't know. Dable might be the only competent coach in the league. He's +550 to win coach of the year. Sirianni +125. John Harbaugh, incidentally, 40-1. I keep waiting for the shoe to drop with the Giants, too. It actually did drop with Saquon. Didn't he go to the sideline and put his shoe back on?
Yeah.
No, that was Josh Jacobs. I'm sorry.
No, Saquon left the game and came right back. He left for a shoulder injury.
With his shoe?
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah. Now, someone's shoe actually came off. It was Josh Jacobs. I mixed up a game. But he has almost 700 total yards. I think he's going to keep this close. Giants 4-1 against the spread this year. 8-3 in their last 11 in October. I like it low. Sheck, 19-17, taking the G-men.
I'm with you on the under. I definitely am with you there. I'm going to take the Ravens. I'm very nervous about doing it. The light, though, you can see it at the end of the tunnel for the Ravens defense, because pass rush is where they've been deficient, and they're based around being able to heat up the QB. You know, Marcus Williams being down, that's a legit absence. But I do think as they're starting to get closer to that, but the thing to watch is the fascinating matchup is Daboll versus Lamar Jackson. I think he will be able to slow him down. Huh. I think the other side is that the Ravens defense is starting to emerge a little bit, and that'll be enough to slow down Dimes and company.
All right. Listen, I'm with you. I picked the Ravens to win that division. I keep waiting for them to pull away. I thought they'd win by, you know, double digits against the Bengals, and then they just keep leaving these games up to chance, like, at the end.
It's because they don't have a defense, but now they're about to. They have all those options now, just now starting to get right, and that are going to be returning. That'll be obviously a major factor for them.
Which way are you going, Martin?
It's really two ways to look at it. You got – I love Wink Martindale's chain.
I'm asking you which way.
It's kind of every game.
I'll offer you a third option.
Well, I'll find the third and fourth if you give me enough time. But Wink Martindale and his Cuban link chain and his blitzing defenses versus Lamar Jackson. Right, you figure somebody's going to have to come, and who's going to get the best of that moment? I'm going to go ahead and go. You know, I'm going to go with the player. I'm going to take Lamar. The Giants, again, off that emotional win. You saw how Daboll was all hype coming off. But I do think that's a little – we might be a little too high on the Giants right now. I get their 4-1. But, you know, they're a couple bounces away from, a solid 2-3, 3-2 record, and we're not thinking of the Giants. Like, some people are having them as one of the best teams in the NFC, and I don't think that it's somewhere in the middle. Like, this water's going to find its level. And, you know, Ravens have been really good. It gave two games away. So I'm going to Baltimore here.
Spaghetti, I might like you. I definitely like your team more than these two. I might like it more than even your team.
I kind of like the Giants in this game a lot. I mean, if they're going to lose a game, it was supposed to be last week, missing a lot of players. They're getting back Leonard Williams. They're getting back Adoree Jackson. They're getting back Wan'Dale Robinson. So they're getting back these major pieces they need. The Ravens are pretty one-dimensional. You know, they're going to run the ball, and the Giants are good at stopping the pass, so they could, you know, focus all their attention on stopping Lamar and their rushing attack. I do think Mark Andrews is a huge threat, but I think they do a good job with Xavier McKinney kind of spying him. And, you know, Daniel Jones is not turning the ball over. And I think, you know, if it's 6, 5.5, whatever the spread is right now, I think they can keep it within that at home. They'll be fired up. And I think this is a game the Giants could definitely cover, if not win.
All right. So Spaghetti portrays me as like, he's a Giant hater. I can't see clear. I pick the Giants almost every week here. I'll have money on them. You know, I'm fair. I don't just mix it up. I have the Penguins to not make the playoffs. That's a sound.
Well, that's pick. Crazy. But I mean, there's 17 years of evidence that says you're loco, but on the Penguins pick. But you do you. Put your money where you want to put your money, friend. And then we'll revisit in the spring how well that worked out for you. But all right. I don't think it would be crazy for the Gents to win this game. It really, though, is like, if we know this, then Wink Martindale knows that Lamar Jackson has performed best among all QBs against the blitz. So he's probably going to change what he does. And that I think it's super interesting, objectively, of who's going to win that, Lamar versus his old coaches, and who knows what about whom.
Well, listen, there's
two ways you can look at it, really.
As is the case with all these middling quarterbacks, whether it's Cooper Rush or Daniel Jones, the one thing Martin and I talked about is, and Sheck, I think you were there for it, was about 12 minutes ago. We talked about how if the team gets down early, can they rebound? And Daniel Jones, if nothing else, proved that against the Packers, legitimate defense, came right back. So I kind of think he could do it again against Baltimore. So I'm not worried where I will be at worried if they're down 10-0, but not as much as if Cooper Rush is in that spot against the Eagles. All right, let's take another quick break. We'll go over a couple more games and then baseball and college football. All right, the Browns are home for the Patriots, 2.5-point favorite. Brownies, 43.5 is the over-under. I went back and forth with this one like 13 times because I actually think the biggest mismatch in this game is the coaching.
Oh yeah.
You know, the Lions, whose offense seemed to be thriving, came into Foxborough and got bullied by Belichick's defense. But I think the other way, the Browns defense this week is going to force Bailey Zappe to throw, and you know, they're top 10 in interceptions, they're top 10 in sacks, they're third in completion percentage allowed. I think this is a problem for the Patriots, and ultimately I feel like they're going to pull it out. Maybe a Cade York resurgence here. New England is different away from Foxborough. 1-4-1 against the spread in their last 6 road games. 23-14, Martin. Browns win.
I'll take the better coach here. I'll go with Belichick. Even what does concern me is I believe it was Harris that is out for the Patriots with a hamstring injury. So if they had both of those guys, Stevenson and Harris, back there pounding the rock, I'd feel way better about it, especially with, like you said, third string quarterback. But I think that Belichick and that off, they'll be able to scheme it up offensively to where Bailey Zappi's not going to get exposed. If they can control the ball, then I'd feel good about it. And plus, Kevin Stefanski, I mean, he's not a good coach. Like if you just look back at that Chargers Browns game from last week, there's several moments that Kevin Stefanski could have been the meathead if Brandon Staley hadn't gone for it at that moment. I think it was 8-16 against the spread as a favorite. So I'll go ahead and I'll take. Give me Billy. I'll go Billy Belichick.
Check. Would you do this trade? The sports guy's all over me. Martin brought up Ramondre Stevenson, breakout back for the Patriots. Simmons, big Patriots fan, obviously wants him from me. I'm loaded at receivers. He's offering me Alan Lazard, and he's bummed out I won't take it. Well, people should know that a valuable running back is more valuable than a valuable receiver, right? Plus, I don't want him to be happy. You wouldn't take that, would you?
You're asking me? I mean, fantasy is for nerds. I don't engage in that. Go call Flo's best friend. Maybe he'll have some insight for you.
Okay, wow. Go ahead. I actually completely forgot you weren't in the league for a second. Go ahead.
Is it that league, too? It's that league? You're asking me about that league?
I mean, it's the hell
where's your,
one.
Where's no, your dick? Where's your honor, sir?
Right. You're taking the Patriots. I know you are.
I mean, I do think Devontae Smith for Ramondre Stevens. I think I would probably do that depending on what I needed. But I'm taking the Patriots, and I think this really does. Like I told you a week ago, at some point, Jacoby Brissett is revealed as being Jacoby Brissett. I think the Chargers kind of did that to him. And the Patriots defense pitched a shutout last week against a good offense. So, I mean, in a game in which you could see five total passes thrown between the two QBs, wow, both going to try and grind you on the ground. I get it. Damian Harris is a major absence, but, you know, Belichick, he's doing it again, isn't he? He's doing it again. It doesn't look good. You think like, oh, they're not good. And well, the bloom's off that 20-year rose and everything else, but
They will not go away. They're not terrible. Yeah, they won't go away. And all right, so Cincinnati, New Orleans, let's do this, Martin. Your team for the last, I don't know how many years, but we talked about this on Thursday. We don't know who's playing ever. If you have five main contributors, four of them are iffy for Sunday. Bengals are favored on the road, 1.5, 43 is the over-under at New Orleans. And Andy Dalton, the revenge game, I guess, right, against his old team. Check, by the way, did we talk about this? Cowboys have had three redheaded quarterbacks. My buddy Joey brought this up to me. Is that number one by two, right? Cooper
That's
Rush.
Crazy.
Andy Dalton,
I was struck by the number of redheads and the lack of them.
We got them all.
Wow. Have there been more lefties or redheaded QBs?
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But talk about red, which is really like orange. Give me the team that has the orange lefties on their head. It's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Dude, there aren't that many, really. It's funny. If you they did a piece.
It's probably,
on ESPN
if it's five, though. If it's five, you got them beat, though. You're going Bengals.
I've been talking about a game for a talented team that, like, really, it's starting to get away from you if you're the Bengals and you lose this one. So I think Cincy is incented to go down there and get right. This is a pretty good spot, as banged up as the Saints are.
I don't know. Martin, Jameis Winston's limited. You know, Thursday a.m. trying to pick this game is tough. I think he'll start. Not sure about Olave coming off a concussion or Landry. Michael Thomas is expected to play. I'm going. I mean, this is a second straight road game for the Bengals. I'm going with the Saints. They have 10 sacks. Woo! I think Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis put Burrow down. Still haven't figured out that offensive line. 26.
Go Saints.
21.
Go Pats.
Saints, Martin. Here we go.
Go.
That's my pick.
Go what Giants. Let's get back into this thing, Yins.
Okay, so the thing here is you have a battle of the who dat and who day. Because if you notice, Bengals fans say who they say going to beat them Bengals, which makes no sense at all. It's obviously a blatant bastardization of who dat say they're going to beat them Bengals, which makes perfect sense if you've ever met anybody from Louisiana. Because that is exactly how, especially New Orleans, because generally that'll be how the question is phrased. I'm going to go ahead and go with I'm going with the Saints here. I think Cam Jordan has a big game. The Saints defense is still good. Offensively, God, you know, pray before you go to the Superdome on Sunday, because you're going to need all the help we can get. You know, we got Taysom Hill playing Wildcat quarterback against Joe Burrow, who we know is Saints fans, all of our LSU fans. You see what that guy can do. But ultimately, the five guys in front of him won't be able to keep him upright. Cam Jordan eats, and the Saints win.
I forgot about that LSU thing. You think he has extra fans there? No. You'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
You
know what, though? Marty is right. Marty is correct, though. Disgraceful stuff, Cincinnati. Queen City stealing somebody else's cheer. I don't know if it's the Dolphins or the Oilers, like, because we're the Houston Oilers, or because we're the Miami Dolphins. Somebody stole somebody else's song. And shame on you.
Listen, as a guy who the Mets were rolling like nobody else, and then everybody started playing the Narco Horn song, and then it fell apart. Like right around the same week, every college that was playing it as a hype song is when I'm with you. Stop stealing songs. To me, it's not who that or who they, it's who playing. So, but I'm still going to go with the Saints. Let's do our pup of the week. I'm cheating here, Martin. I don't call me out on it. I know how it goes. It's supposed to be plus 150 or higher, but I'm taking the Dolphins at plus 148.
Oh, you
and you did it
no,
too?
I'm just messing around.
Oh, you're because of the $2. Yeah. I mean, Sheck owes you $3. Skylar Thompson wasn't bad. I know his stats weren't great last week for just being thrown in there. Not terrible. 16. I don't give him an A minus, but 16-33, 166. But I saw some competent passes a week to prepare against a Vikings team that's dying to lose these games. They just are. And I think Brandon Jones steps it up on defense. Melvin Ingram, pair of sacks each coming up on Sunday. Vikings 0-4 against the spread in the last four. We're not talking spread here, though. We're talking game pick on the field. Dolphins win. Martin, what's your pup?
I love that play, by the way. I like, especially you consider Mike McDaniel and the ability that the San Francisco 49ers have shown to win without their starting quarterback. I think you're in good shape there. I'm really torn here. I'm trying to. I'm going.
You want me to go to Sheck? You want to think about it a little more?
No, I'm torn between the Falcons and the Panthers. Like, I think that the Falcons' run game is really good, and the 49ers' defense is a lot out, even though I think that's a really great unit. And the dead cat bounce of the Panthers. Oh. I'm going with PJ Walker, dog. Former Houston Roughneck, XFL MVP. He's better than Baker Mayfield. We'll see it on Sunday. And it's just the same logic as last week. The Rams, who are they to lay 10.5? This is going to be a way closer game. Panthers are going to have a shot to win it.
All right. Well, all right. So if you keep a track, our pups are backing Skylar Thompson and PJ Walker so far. Sheck, come on. Throw another
one. My heavens. Go ahead. You know what? When you change coaches, that's not, you know, maybe you do get a little boost from that.
Well, not only that, but they threatened to trade McCaffrey or didn't. It's a weird week, but go ahead.
Yeah, what a mess there. By the way, you mentioned Vikings and Dolphins, and I must shout it out. That is one of two prior Super Bowl head-to-heads being repeated here in week six, the Giants and Ravens being the other one.
Right.
Super Bowl VIII, of course, Larry Zonka and company trucked Fran Tarkenton and the Purple People Eaters. I am going to go with an NFC tilt from the late 90s. Remember when the Niners and the Falcons toiled and the Falcons came out on top and that preceded their victory against the aforementioned Vikings in the title game. They went on to the Super Bowl, lost to the Broncos. Falcons are going to do it again. They're going to beat the Niners here. They're the Niners, like we keep talking about, they're playing games on the razor's edge because they're trying to dominate defensively.
Right.
Falcons are in most of these games. They keep on covering. I think they get over the hump here. Plus 5-0, 96, I think. Is that what it is?
Okay. That's respectable. So that's the best quarterback we have we're looking at here. Mariota, Skylar Thompson, PJ Walker. 5-0 against the spread the Falcons are. Yeah, we picked against Sheck. We both picked against the Niners last week, right? Did we both have Carolina? Mm-hmm. Or was that just
both of you guys did.
Sorry, we both doing it again.
We both did.
Yeah.
I was incensed.
All right. And Martin had Atlanta. We could talk baseball, but the Mets are out of it. So we're in a weird spot here because Seattle and Houston are playing before this pod post. The Yankees are postponed. I like the Guardians in game two, but like I said, the Mets are out. Let's spend the last minute or so. Three big college games, Shaq. Penn State at Michigan. Michigan's a 7-point favorite, 50.5 the over under. Alabama laying 7 at Tennessee. Wow. 65.5 and USC, Utah. Utah's home 3.5. Point favorite. Which one do you like best out of those?
Out of those three games, I like Michigan. Is it? It's still a touchdown? Did you say or 6.5?
7. It went to 7 on Caesars. Yeah.
I liked it better at 6.5, obviously, but I still like the Wolverines against Penn State. Jimmy Franklin has a habit in big spots like this. He's going to stumble somewhere along the way. I like the Wolverines. As somebody who sat there and watched the full 3 hours of the Indiana Hoosiers getting wet when there were other good games on, but I'm loyal if nothing else. I sat there and watched my team get hammered in the second half.
Yeah, but they were in it for
I know
a
they were.
That's,
but
that's why I would take the points here. I think we see that's, a few cracks
that's,
there.
See, yeah. That's why I'm playing 4D chess, Sal. You
oh,
see?
Wow.
Michigan knew. Okay. Like, they're come on. We don't need our best effort to truck this team. And then they almost got, or at least at halftime, they had to be a little spooked. Then they turned it on and you saw what they're made of. Like, hey, Harbaugh must have said in the locker room, like, hey, that game next week ain't going to mean jive if you lose to this collection of bums. And so they turned it on. I think this is the big spot that they've been building up to the last couple of weeks. I think they take care of business at home.
All right. Martin, is your team. You feel confident in laying that big, 7 against Penn State?
I do. Especially if Michigan can run the ball the way they've been running the ball. Blake Corum has been, I mean, he's been really, really impressive this year. If they can continue to do that and just limit J.J. McCarthy, I don't think he's a guy who ultimately will need to be limited as the season progresses. But as he's getting his feet under him, and especially in a game like this, it's like if they can run the ball, I feel good about their chances to cover.
That's what tells the tale of what I'm getting at there. Like Corum wasn't getting his usual amount of touches in the first half. They're like, well, we're not going to waste him now. We got Penn State next week. But then they had to use him more.
And then Alabama, Tennessee, boy, they're begging you to take Tennessee here. Tennessee's been playing great. They destroyed LSU, didn't have a chance. And Alabama, Bryce Young's on a pitch count, and yet Alabama lane 7 because they're Alabama. I'm not biting with Tennessee. I'm going to take Alabama there. But my best is Utah over USC. Cameron Rising is going to tear up this. He's very precise. They got beat up by UCLA, just big plays running against them. But number one, Utah is Pac-12 defensively against the pass, averaging 179 yards a game. Caleb Williams is going to have trouble moving the ball. And then watch this Tavian Thompson, who's great last year, slow start this season, then over 5 yards a carry against UCLA, 37-24. Give me Utah. That's my best. Check. -3 with Hench. That goes down today?
That's right. We're going to spin in just a little while there. We'll get his pro football thoughts and beyond. He's got a lot of them as it happens. I'm on a text chain to prove it.
Oh, he's crazy. He talks to himself on like 15 text chains is the best. Martin, lemon pepper parlay. Good job by you and Will Blackman breaking down the roughing passer stuff and the games coming up this weekend.
You know, and speaking of the games coming up this weekend, I got another bonus lemon pepper parlay for you all. 5-1 it pays out just about. The Falcons on the money line and the Seahawks on the money line. I'm playing that. If I was like you, Sal, and I didn't, you know, follow the rules, and I picked a pup, just any underdog to be my pup, Seattle would have been.
I owe you $2. All right, I'll take a 3-1 next week. I'll make up for it. But all right, so there's your another bonus.
It's a great day for hockey. Let's go, Pens.
Let's go, Pens. Listen, against all odds, we did our NHL preview earlier in the week. We're gonna have the Thursday night game. Tonight, we will preview that. Spotify Live will be on in the fourth quarter of this miserable Chicago-Washington game. We'll all get through this together. Go to extrapoints.com/arcade for the pick'em and the prop quiz contest. Yeah, I made it through. It was a rough hour for me to start off, but I think I got through it with dignity. There you go. Reminded everyone out there may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.